So the title of the sermon is One House for God. And we'll read Ephesians and see where it comes from. Verse 11. Therefore, remember that at one time, you Gentiles in the flesh called the uncircumcision, or what is called the circumcision, which is made by in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at a time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one, and has broken down in his flesh the divide by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and he preached peace to those who were far off, and peace to those who were near. Through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints, members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you are also being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. So you can stay on this last couple of verses from verse 18. So this scripture is part of the letter of Ephesians that Paul writes, and he's addressing people that are actually Gentiles. They weren't part of the Jewish culture. They were pagans, worshipping pagan gods. So they have some in the Ephesian community. And you can see that he speaks about two peoples. There are two peoples mentioned here. The two peoples that he speaks about are the Jews and the Gentiles. That was the main point of division usually in the churches in the early days, was the Jews and the Gentiles. The fight between what practices should be incorporated from the Jewish faith and what should be left out against. It's a big theme in the Bible. But what he says is there was this wall, this dividing wall of hostility that was erected by the law that said, this is the wall. The people of God are the Jews. No one else can have a part in this people. That's how God chose to do it in the beginning. And later on, he sent Jesus to break down this dividing wall. And all of a sudden, you have new people coming in. You have Gentiles coming into the kingdom of God. And you find actually that people that just stick to Judaism are not part of the people of God, but those who believe in Jesus. So it's this new thing that's created. The wall is broken down, and there's a new thing that's created. New thing that's created speaks about the metaphor of a new temple, a new building, something that God is doing. So they really had some struggles, the Jews and the Gentiles. There were some big fights about that. If you read Acts, there are actually some, like the first official meeting from the church, the ecumenical church, happened in Acts, where they had to discuss, okay, so we have Gentiles coming in, and we have Jews who have become Christians. So the Jews are culturally Jews, and by religion they were Jews, now they're Christians, people of the way they were called. Now they have certain practices that they're keeping, and now the Gentiles are coming in, and now they say, well, you need to do what we do, because we are the real people of God. And they say, okay, so we got all circumcised 8 days old, so you need to get circumcised now. And I think that I had to content you in those days for all those Gentiles to go through circumcision in order to become people of God. So they had their fights and they had their discussion, and they say it seemed good to us and the Holy Spirit that the following is necessary. So they only put down 3-4 things Stop sacrificing stuff to idols. Stop drinking blood. Stop sexual immorality. Become part of the people of God. So they didn't have to do all the practices of the Jews. So this new culture was formed. But even though those things took place, there were still some struggles in the communities and struggles in the smaller churches. So something had to be said. This dividing wall has been broken down. It's gone. So now there's a new thing that's being created. Now this whole passage goes about this new building, this new temple that is created. And I want to draw that back to our society, back to Bloemfontein, back to South Africa. So we have a country where there was structural injustice in terms of apartheid many years, where people were actively cut off from other people, separated from one another. Most of us know the horrible history that is there. And even though these dividing walls have been broken down 25 years ago and before that, we still live in that tension. We still live in that tension, racial tension. Some political parties even take this racial tension and use it to get votes. So they themselves aren't necessarily racist, but they see it works to fuel a fire of racism in order to get votes. So it's something that is actively promoted in our country to keep these walls, almost to build it up again. So we as a church, we have the vehicle of unity, which God speaks about. And we're gonna look into that this morning. And then we can feel it in our cities where we're living, it's in our country, but it's also a worldwide thing. With my previous job where I was working, we had a lot of conversations where we actively got people from different races and the conversation. We had a conversation with all of them. And then we said we want to hear everybody speak. We want to hear everyone's voice. And now we're able to ask one another questions. So by doing so, we didn't resolve the racial tension, but what we did do was we help people to get closer to one another, hear one another's stories. And in many of those conversations, it's very focused on South Africa and the South African context. But we did have conversations where we had people from other countries visiting, and they were part of those conversations. And then we hear, but we are not alone in this. Our country is not alone in racial divisions. And then you hear stories of countries that you wouldn't think there's racial tension because they don't have many different racial groups, but they do have even small racial differences between groups or subgroups within racial groups and between socioeconomic classes. Our eyes were opened to realize we're not alone. It is a problem globally. And actually, there are some reports that's come, says, been on the increase in the last. So we are really faced with that problem. But we as the church have a vehicle to trump that, to overcome that as far as possible on this side of the grave. So if we look at the scripture, it says that both these parties, the Jews and the Gentiles, was made one through him. Through Jesus. Both have access to the Father through the Spirit. So it's beautiful. The Trinity is involved. Jesus is the one that helps us to get to the Father by the working of the Holy Spirit. So we have all three present. This work of reconciliation that God speaks about when getting people together. He himself, in all three persons, is actively involved in that process. So we can see a picture of unity just in the process of forming unity. There God is in his three persons working together. So it says that it is possible for two diverse groups to come together in one spirit, getting access to the Father to become one people. it has this metaphor of a building, a living temple, one household. So it's powerful to say that we are forming part of a household. So a household is actually people living together, not just seeing one another once in a while, but actually living together. This household is a household that God put up, and then he said, I'm not just going to keep it here for now on earth and then one day change it. We are already part of an eternal household of God. And we've been speaking about this metaphor of the church being a tree, the kingdom being a tree, and our small congregation not being the whole tree, but being a part of the tree. So in the same way, if God is building a new temple or a new building, a holy place for him to dwell in, it's not just for us. It's not just for this group of people gathered together. We're actually probably a brick or a couple of bricks in the wall. We are not that house, but we are part of that house. And I think if we realize that, we realize there's a real bigger picture going on. God is building a massive thing. God is building something immense. And we have the privilege to be part of that. Even though it could be a small section in one of the walls. But if we have received a small section to fill up, I think we need to do it well. I think we need to stick to one another as good as possible. This picture and this metaphor of a building, it says that Jesus Christ is the cornerstone, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. So this temple that God is building up has a cornerstone, which is Jesus. And cornerstones today, they are a bit more for memorial purposes. They're not functional, structurally functional in buildings anymore. But in those days, if you didn't have a cornerstone, you can't build a building. The technology was not good enough to buildings together without this cornerstone being there. So this cornerstone actually was on a corner, usually the northwest corner. So in one way, it orientates the building, says this is the way you're going to stand. Here's north, here's west. And it also joins two walls together. That was the purpose of the cornerstone. So isn't it beautiful how Paul says this cornerstone that I'm speaking of, in your terms, your days, those, they actually knew a cornerstone and says of a cornerstone. It wasn't for decorative purposes or memorial purposes as we have it today. It was a functional thing. Today we have a cornerstone that sometimes gets placed on the outside of the building or even inside the building that's been engraved to say when the building was started, when the building process was started, when it was completed, and some honorable person in town, usually at some formal ceremony, would unveil the cornerstone. But Jesus is the true cornerstone, the functional cornerstone, the one building, keeping the building's two walls together. So if Jesus is this cornerstone and he's the one that is aligning the whole building, I think we have a lot of safety within that. It's not as if we're planting a church that we're going off the grid and we're starting something completely new and completely loose from what God has already been doing. If we are starting a church, we are just adding bricks to the existing building that God has there. And he has Jesus there as the cornerstone, and we are the walls, and we are the stones that are built into this building. So what's interesting, it says that these stones are being joined together. So it's a process that the stone, you can't do it on your own. If you're a stone, you can't join yourself to the stone next to you. That's the work of the builder. And which is interesting, it says that these stones are being joined together. It's the continuous tense. Almost as if the building is not static, that it's moving. If we look at these walls, they're quite static, and I'm very glad that they are. I'm very glad that these bricks aren't. But God has the ability to build a building in which the stones are moving, in which the stones are growing, in which the stones are joined together. So what it says to me is that He's the one behind this process. He's the one that is joining us together. If you think about a building with loose stones that are just stacked on top of one another, how do you feel about that building? Do you feel a bit insecure? Don't trust it. So, if you just have a heap of stones stacked on one another, it can stay for a while. But when the weather comes and if there's storms, it's probably not going to stay up. So these stones need to be joined. These stones can't be loose. But I think what many times happens is God wants to join us together. He wants to get us connected to the people next to us. He wants to get this congregation together. But we resist the process. So even though God is active in getting us together, we are resistant in that. We stay loose. Then we are disconnected. Then we create many divisions in between ourselves and the people around us. So I'd like you to think about this year. You don't need to think in terms of racial lines necessarily. But are there people that you are actively separating yourself from? Where God has actually said, I want you to be part of this people. I want you to be part of this group. But you're creating distance. You're resisting the process where God is actually joining you together. And yes, there are personality things in that. Some people don't like to be too close to other people. But even those people get the grace to be in other people's space. It's beautiful how there's unity in the church that is not there in other communities. There's usually some common purpose that cluster people together. So interest would get people together. But they don't necessarily form a family. They don't necessarily form a household. But in church, when you get together, there's really something special that God places in all of us to get us together. So is there moments where you are actively resisting? Are you actively resisting that process in which God is trying to get you closer to people? And if He gets us closer to people, it's not just that He's getting closer for the sake of getting closer. There's an immense purpose behind us getting together, getting close to the people around us. The purpose is, I want a dwelling. God says, I want to stay with you. I want to be with you. I want to be present where you are. I want to be inside of you. In John chapter 17, Jesus speaks of God being inside of us and we being inside of God. He says, God, may these people have the same unity that I have in you. So He says, the unity that we have is inside of God. So when Solomon built the temple, he had a lot of wealth, and he had a lot of things to build this temple with, to construct it with. Even in David's already, they started saving up to build this temple for God. And Solomon was probably the richest king in Israel's history. And those riches were channeled into building a house for God. And if you take the time, because it takes time, to read through how the temple was erected and what details God put in there, how things were made of gold, and it were engraved, and the people building it was given divine grace by God to do it. They were given skills from God by His Spirit to construct this temple. It was a really beautiful temple, overlaid with gold on it completely. And then God's presence manifested there when Solomon prayed when the temple wasn't opened. And God's presence was there above the ark, above the mercy seat. But it went away. It was there, but it left. As people stopped following God, His presence wasn't with them anymore. And even though God said, build me a temple, later on in Hebrews, He says, do I stay in temples built with hands, by human hands? God says, I'm not like the other gods that you can carve out and put it up there and you worship this God. He says, you can't even build a house for me to dwell in. You can't build a temple and I'm going to stay in there. The temple had a very specific purpose as a way of getting to connected to God by His divine order. But He says, I wasn't staying there. I had my manifest presence there at times. But the heavens can't contain me. The heavens of the heavens can't contain God. It says that the earth is His footstool. So now God, who says this, He says, I can't stay. This God tells us, you are my temple. I want to live in you. You are worthy enough that I choose to make my dwelling inside of you. And He says, I'm the one building the temple. You are the stones. You are the living stones that I'm building this temple with. It's you. So in this morning, my question to you is, do you want to be a stone? Do you want to be built into this temple, a holy temple for God? Do you want to be part of a local congregation that's maybe one or two stones in this wall? Do you want to be part of the place that God says, I'm going to stay there? I'm going to be in their midst. They're going to be in my heart. I'm going to be in their hearts, and they can't fall from my hands. Do you want to be a part of that? Or do you want to be a stone sitting in this building and distancing yourself from the people around you the whole time? You are a living stone. God is busy building His building. He's joining you to other people. I think at some point it's fine to surrender to that and say, God, it might be difficult for me to love these people around me, but I think I'm going to give it a chance. So I'm going to close with this. For our church, for this year, won't you join in the unity that God wants for us? Won't you join in that process of being connected to the people sitting next to you in the Spirit? Won't you join us in getting new people part of this section of the wall and feel how God builds up that unity and strengthens you by the person next to you? So I'm just going to give a time for you to respond to that on your own. And just ask yourself, God, where can I get closer to people? Where can I get close to someone, be with them, close to them, but still have respect for them? And ask yourself, where can God really change your heart to get unity in this church this year?